Fresh Wellness, Lisa Shebeck, and welcome to my podcast. A homeopath by trade, with the aim of helping you discover health, natural living, and alternative therapies to bring you down the rabbit hole.
That's good.
In this episode of Fresh Wellness with Lisa Shebeck, I speak to my very close friend and fellow homeopath, Charm Badham. Charm is an autism warrior mum and shares her experience of the realities of autism and her son's healing journey. Charm is such a beautiful soul, and she talks about the importance of gratitude and staying positive, even in the darkest days. She explains why she actually felt angry when she first discovered homeopathy, and how it subsequently helped all of her family's health issues, including deep healing on an emotional level. Charm explains why, in her experience in healing autism, healing needs to come from the parents first. Finally, we talk about Charm's hopes for the future and her career as a homeopath who has a special interest in autism. Charm, my lovely friend, who I met on my first day at college, and I think, again, due to synchronicity, I had Emily sitting next to me on one side, who was on episode 2, and I had you, lovely Charm, sitting right behind me. And we found out, hadn't we, that we had met on a Facebook support group.
Yes, that's right.
By a Mickey, who was on last week's episode. So we're all intertwined. So it is funny how that happens. And we hit it off, didn't we, Charm, straight away?
We did.
And you've supported me. I think we've supported each other throughout the last few years. Can I get you to introduce yourself? Why did you come to study homeopathy, and who are you, Charm?
Yeah, of course. First of all, hello, lovely Lisa, and my lovely special friend. Thank you so much for having me on. I've been listening to your podcast and they're so lovely. And I just thought, I had a bit of FOMO because I thought, when am I going to be on?
Well, here you are. You're always going to be on it. You're always on my list.
Thank you. Yes, so we met at college when we started our homeopathy journey, and we had a funny connect. Well, we had a little bit of a connection before, as you said, and we were on the Facebook group, weren't we? Found out that we were going to study at CHE at the same time, which was really nice because you've got that connection then already, haven't you? You're not kind of walking into a classroom without knowing anybody, so that was really lovely. I think my journey is very similar to yours, Lisa, as you well know, but for your listeners, I literally found homeopathy that summer. So I started studying in September, and a few years before, I'd known Mickey for quite a while, who you've had on the other day, and yep. She introduced me to homeopathy quite a few years ago, and I just thought, what's this homeopathy? I've been researching lots of different things, and the reason for that was sort of a bit of a backstory. Was I've got 3 children, and my son, my youngest son, was diagnosed with autism and global developmental delay just after he turned 2. So soon after that, he had lots of complex issues, health issues that followed. One of the hardest health challenges that we faced at the time was something called cyclical vomiting syndrome, shortened as CVS, and you know, he needed help with that far above anything else, really, because he was literally vomiting every few weeks. We didn't know, and he was little, and we didn't know what was wrong, and obviously we sought out a lot of help, and we did lots of private investigations because we didn't know what that was. But eventually he was diagnosed with CVS, and we saw lots of paediatricians, we saw gastroenterologists, we went all over the place. And I remember, I'll never forget this. We went to a place not too far from here, up in Cambridge. And I thought, okay, as you do, you kind of go through the hoops, don't you, to try and find out what is going on. And I remember going to see this specialist consultant. She was a gastroenterologist. And I just thought, this is going to be good because she's going to have answers for us. I'm going to know how to move forward. I'm going to know how to help my boy. And I went to the consultation and I shared what I'd known, everything that I'd thought that I could be, everything that we've learned, everything I've kind of read about. She never looked once at me. She just typed away on the computer, never made eye contact, didn't even acknowledge. I felt so sort of dismissed. And all she basically suggested was, oh, he can have anti-sickness tablets. And he can have, eventually, if that doesn't stop, then we can look at propranolol, which is a beta blocker. And I remember driving home from that meeting and just crying. You know, my husband was driving and I couldn't even, that was it. It was a real pivotal moment for me because I had pinned my hopes on that. And I just thought, this is it. This is the brick wall that I'm now hitting. And we're not going, I'm not doing this. And it just propelled me into finding out what else was out there and how could I help him. So yeah, I found, came across homeopathy, and like you, I did, you know, that intro course. I did an introduction. They were doing a Saturday. I think you did an evening one, but I did a Saturday and a Sunday course for 2 days at college. I think it was in June or July. And I remember sitting there listening to Anne Healy and I thought, oh my God, I actually felt quite angry. I was so amazed, but I felt
angry.
Well, I felt angry because I thought, why the hell hasn't anybody told me about, why don't I know about this? I remember that feeling and I still honestly cannot believe I was astounded by the things that she was saying. Everything just made sense. And I thought, what the hell? And I just absolutely, this is it. This is what I need to know. This is what I need to do. And without a doubt, that was it. It was just in so instant. I fell in love with it and needed to know more. I wanted to do it for the rest of my life. And then I signed up for the course in September and I was there and haven't looked back since because what can I say? As you know,
you've given me four body chills. And like, I so relate to that, you know, that feeling of, finding that there's no help. You know, that or no, that the conventional help will only sort of suppress the symptoms. There's nothing to treat at a deeper level, and that feeling as a mum of that just isn't acceptable. You know, I have to find another way. And then, as you say, like when you know, I discovered homeopathy and finding about its principles, and just thinking, my God, like when she'd had ear infections all those years ago, my daughter, I could have just given her some Pulsatilla or some Belladonna,
that's
or whatever,
right,
and it would have got rid of it without antibiotics. You know, it was like this.
That's
I get that as well. Why doesn't everyone know about it? Why
exactly?
And that
is where that anger came from, because I just thought, what, you know, exactly same as you, all of that, you know, for years I was constantly taking him to the doctors, taking my kids to the doctors for ear infections. He's got another ear infection. You know, he's been sick again, and writing letters to the GP. Oh, he's been sick. Nothing. It was just, you know, you have to. I got to the point where I just thought, I need to find the answers on my own because no one is going to bloody help us. And it's really sad to, you know, get to that point. But in a way, I'm glad I did, because I would never have known about amazing homeopathy and what it has to offer and everything else that encompasses it as well, if that makes sense. It's not just, I'm sure you know what I'm talking about, but when you go down the route of learning about other modalities, other therapies that are there, and then you kind of go on this journey where you think everything is not what it seems, everything is not what you've been told, and you just, whoa. But then you become so open-minded, you know, you're open to anything, and it's just a whole new world, and I would never ever look back.
Oh, child, I love that. You summed it up, like, yeah, perfectly. I know, it's a real eye-opening, like, red pill going down the rabbit hole, whatever it you want to call it. Like, because the world as I knew it before was completely different after I gave a sugar pill that apparently had nothing in it and was quackery and pseudoscience. And then I witnessed in my own eyes and I was like, well, something doesn't quite add up based on the old version of, you know, the world and what I knew. I completely get that. It's so great. So how has it changed? You know, what's it, can you give us some examples and the listeners of what it has actually done for your family, you know, and health wise?
Yeah, of course. So, I mean, as you know, I mean, Arjun's eight now. So, for our whole journey since I found homeopathy, we've just been using homeopathy. And the other complementary therapy that has been amazing for him is cranial sacral therapy, which the two therapies hand in hand are absolutely amazing. So we've had lots, you know, we've had lots of incidences where we've used homeopathy at home for many things, you know, anything sort of acute and emotional. As you know, that obviously can help us all on an emotional level, because one mm-hmm. thing that we you know, families go through, and when you've got a child with complex needs and special needs, the whole family is impacted, hugely impacted. There's honestly, there's so much trauma for the parents, there's so much trauma for the siblings, especially when, you know, the child is, you know, I'm talking about the special needs child, demands so much. And if a child is particularly, you know, nonverbal, there's anything like aggression and behavior challenges, then it does impact the whole family. So mm-hmm. on an emotional level, the remedies have been a lifesaver for us all. And I've realized over the years, only recently, I'd say, yeah, probably about 3 years ago, that actually the healing needs to come from healing the family and healing parents. Mm. And once the parents are in a really good place and have let go of their own emotions associated with the journey, so what I'm talking about is kind of the grief, perhaps, you know, the worry, the fear, the stresses that you have of what your future is going to look like, you know, once you can kind of let that go, it does make a really big difference for your child, because most autism children are very, very sensitive. Children are sensitive anyway to energies in the house and tension. So homeopathy remedies have helped me personally immensely with that on an emotional level. Yeah, can I give you an example that's been really exciting?
Yeah, please do.
Recently, well, Arjun had a really bad flare, because I suspect he suffers from PANS as well. And he had a really bad flare beginning of this year, which was the worst I've ever seen him. And it resulted in him having these moments where he would just flip out in the back of the car. So I'd be driving and he would just absolutely go mental. And I'd be on the motorway because we've got, you know, it's just a short stretch of a motorway, but very, very stressful. You know, he doesn't know what he's doing, and it was going on for a while, you know. And I got to the point where I just thought, oh my gosh, this is making me feel awful. My nerves were just fried. I was feeling really anxious all the time. I felt like I couldn't drive the car anymore. Even if the kids were okay, I just felt I couldn't drive the car. And then it got to the point when I actually had a panic attack on the M3.
Oh, no.
This is about a month ago, probably a couple of months ago. And everything was fine. You know, the kids were fine. I went to go and see my sisters, obviously, after lockdown. And my husband had a few drinks, so he was driving. So, you know, everyone was fine. There was no stress, but it was obviously a buildup of everything that had been going on for the months. And what I hadn't realised was the trauma was actually trapped inside my body, because this is obviously the buildup of a panic attack. So I had to pull over on the M3, and it's a smart motorway, which really stresses me out anyway. So I hate those lanes. And then I had to kind of really gather myself and manage to get home okay, safely. But I realised, I thought, oh my God, you know, I need to speak to my homeopath and I need help with this. And oh my goodness. Well, can you guess what remedy I had? Do you want to take a guess?
Oh no, don't put me on the spot. No.
Well, I had stramonium 1M.
Oh really? Stramonium.
Yeah. And bloody hell, I had it. And the next day, 2 days, yeah, but probably about 2 days, maybe the next day, I had really bad backache for a long time as well. And this goes to show what trauma can do to a physical body. And I hadn't realised. I remember saying to my homeopath, I've got, oh, do you know what? I've got really, apart from my panic attacks, I've got really bad backache as well. And he said, okay, you know, you can take some silica for backache. And I just, okay. So I started with this Trimonium. And a couple of days later, I woke up and I, oh my God, my backache is gone.
Oh,
my backache just had gone. And then I made the connection. I thought, oh my God, it was trauma. Yeah. So my body was holding this trauma that I've been having for the last few months. And because that was it. Trimonium, as you know, is an excellent remedy for really strong fears and shock. And that's what happened. So it was amazing. And I haven't had, and I've been all right. I'm okay now, driving and.
That's brilliant. And Stramonium is, I think, one of my favourite remedies. And it's so underrated. Well, it's not underrated, but I think it's not used as widely as it should be. It is excellent.
No, I know. It's actually, you know, you would ask me what my favourite remedy is, but definitely love Stramonium.
What is your favourite remedy, Charm?
Do you have Stramonium?
It is Stramonium.
Yeah.
Why do you love it?
I love it because, I mean, it's a really good remedy for Arjun as well, but it's just around that kind of trauma, that shock, that fear. I just think, you know, it's a much deeper remedy than aconite. So, yeah, it's, I don't know. I love them all, you know.
I think anyone listening should read Paul Hersky's book on Stramonium.
Yes, absolutely.
That is such an amazing book. And he talks about how it should be, you know, it should have much more wider use, you know, particularly amongst kids with sort of developmental problems or behavioural issues. But he talks about the sort of cycles between various remedies, doesn't he? And how you move in and out of various remedies and the remedy relationships. It's such a brilliant book.
Yeah, definitely. You're right. I think the relationship between... Yeah, actually, it was quite pivotal because I remember reading that book thinking, where has this book been all my homeopathy life? It's like, this is amazing, because he does talk about how the kids shift out of the different remedy states, and it quite does make sense, and how you should always treat a little bit higher.
Exactly. No, it's it's a brilliant book. And you do sort of think, a whole book on Stramonium? I thought, how can a whole book be written on Stramonium? And then you read it and you're like, it's definitely. So, no, it's great. And how is Arjun's vomiting? Does he still vomit, or has that sort of resolved or improved over
time? Oh, that's much better now. Okay. So over the years, it's reduced considerably. So the things that, you know, we've been doing, homeopathy, you know, he has regularly, and cranial he has every couple of months. He also had reflexology quite a few years ago, and that really shifted. So all of these, you know, therapies that are, there's loads out there that can help your child. It's just really finding the right one. But for him, definitely, he's much better now. In lots of ways.
How else has he improved? I mean, that's lovely to hear. And I think, you know, for people listening to know that there is hope, because you hear from parents with children with autism or, you know, severe developmental delays, just that, as you said, that fear of the future. And I think if you do go on websites, you know, even for much lesser issues like what we went through, when you can go on websites and support groups, if you go on the wrong ones, they can be full of doom and gloom and, you know, what horrors there might be ahead of you. And it's very hard, you know, when you're traumatized enough, not to get out of that, to try and get yourself out and to start thinking positively. And it can be really hard when you're in a, you know, bad place anyway. So it's lovely for people to hear that there is hope, you know. And
absolutely. Yeah, I mean, I would totally agree with you, Lisa. I think there is so much fear out there, and this, you know, there's a lot of your own stuff that you have anyway. And then if you go on the groups, it can be easily quite compounded by other people's fears and you can get taken away by yourself. But I strongly believe in having a positive mindset. absolute positive mindset. I think that is the number one thing. And, you know, he has done really well over the years. He's progressed in many ways. We have less behaviours now. We have speech, not conversational, but, you know, it will come. I know it will come when he's ready.
He's making good progress with his speech, isn't
he? He's amazing.
He was non-verbal completely, wasn't he? When
he was non-verbal. Yeah, yeah, non-verbal totally. He never spoke, actually. He never spoke when he was younger.
What age did he start talking, John?
Probably after three, I would say. But it was just the odd word. It wasn't, he's, you know, it's not talking per se. It's just the odd bit of words, really, and the odd few words stringed together. But you can see the difference in him now. His understanding levels are so much better. He understands everything you say to him. Mm-hmm. His eye contact is much better. He is more affectionate. So all of these things are coming. But I do know that his personality is embroiled in it as well. You know, he's a young boy. He's eight. He's got a lot of frustrations anyway and things. So there's a lot of that. But he's doing really well. He's doing really well, and he's super strong and super brave. But one of the things that's really helped me, if you don't mind me saying, is I love Joe Dispenza.
He's
been absolutely amazing, because I totally believe that, you know, if you've got a vision for what you want to achieve, so you just got to let everything else go and just and have that faith and know that everything's going to be okay and everything is okay, and you can, you know, you can achieve anything with a positive mindset. And that's where I'm at now, and where I've been at for the last, I'd say, good year, actually, because things will be better. I know it. I just know it.
I love that. And, you know, I can see how positive you are. And I know, I mean, I know from my own experience how hard it can be when you're in the thick of sort of the dark days to focus on the positive. And I'd like to hear some of your advice, you know, any more advice as well. But for me, it was very much trying to go on forums, which was very much like, I think it might have been Rogue Recovery or Recovering Kids, and it had Friday gains, and they'd always say on a Friday, you know, what has your child done this week, how have they improved? And I would just try and focus on those really positive stories, because it can be really hard when you're you know, your child is suffering. And the other thing, I'm similar to what you've just said, but I read that book by Healing the New Childhood Epidemics by Dr. Bock, and at the end there was that chapter, and he said right at the end, he said, now that we remember, I can recall this right. He said that you have to have, basically exactly what you've just said, you have to have that vision that everything's going to be okay. And he said, faith is the bird that fills the light and sings while the dawn is still dark. And I thought, that's what you've got to do. Even in the darkest of it, you have to have that faith and sing and happy you for your kid and keep them pushing through. But I mean, it's easier said than done, isn't it? It can be extremely difficult.
Absolutely. I think so. And I think, you know, I mean, it's fine me sitting here saying that, oh, just be positive. But you're right. It is easier to say it than do it, because some people, you know, would naturally find that a little bit more challenging, wouldn't they, than others? But, you know, you can do simple daily things that I find useful that can help. A little bit of meditation, you know, sort of 5 minutes just to ground yourself, a little bit, all the breathing obviously is amazing. Keep breathing and you know, I think it's all energy, isn't it? This is the whole thing. It's all energy. So if we can raise our vibration energetically by listening to music, things like that, all of those things will lift your energy. Mm. And that's the things that your child needs from you, because they sense it. And if you're in a bad place, in a low place, then that's it. It's, you're in that kind of cycle, aren't you? But if you're able to lift yourself and, you know, do these little things, have that gratitude every day, you know, it can really make a difference. I mean, every night when we go to bed, I've started doing this for Arjun now, when he goes, before we've built it into his routine, so he gets changed, he puts his pajamas on, and just before bed, I've got these words printed out on the mirror.
Yeah.
And they're kind of his affirmations.
Aww.
So we make him go up to the words, and he says, "I am strong. I Aww. Am brave. I can talk. I can do anything. I can talk." And
oh,
every
you're
night,
make me cry, John. That's so sweet. That's
and he
so
does it.
Lovely.
Oh, he does it oh, every night. He says it clear as day, Lisa. Clear as day. Oh. Sometimes he's like, blah, blah, blah. And then, but other days, really beautiful, beautiful voice, beautiful words, and we're like, hurrah! And we give him a massive cheer at the end, because it's like, yes, Arjun, you can talk. You yeah. are talking. And he loves it. And his little face just lights up, because it's about letting go of the stuff you can't do. It's like, you know, you can do this. And it's for him, you know, it's being cheerleaders for your kids to say that you can do this. And it's just, yes, brilliant. So we do that. And every night we lie in bed, and I, because he likes to get snuggling with me, and I do a little we do just do a little gratitude for the day. Thank you for That's this lovely. Today thank you for that today. And it just helps you keep that yeah. positiveness. Yeah.
Do you know what, you've just sort of reminded me of something actually, that that Lisa Summit, who was on the podcast with her book Emotional Repatterning and these self-limiting beliefs that we have, and one of them she talks about is acceptance, and how sometimes people find it really hard to accept a situation, and if you can't accept it, you can't actually even begin to really move on. And what you've sort of said as well, like, you don't have to like something because you accept it. And I think, you know, you can still try and change the situation, but I think people think sometimes that by accepting it, it means they have to like it and like just deal with it and live with it. But that's not the case. You accept the reality of what is there right now, and you can not like it, you can change things still for the better,
right.
like what you're doing. And I think I see sort of patients where people can't accept the current situation, and it's very, you get stuck in that state, and you can't move through it. So I think it's really sort of wise to do that. And
definitely. And you know, on an emotional level, this is the thing that I love about homeopathy, because the remedies will help you through this process, and can help the parents, and it's helped me emotionally. You know, I haven't got to this state all of a sudden. You know, I've had homeopathy for years myself, and you know, worked through lots of grief and anger and disappointment, you know, whatever was there. But that certainly might be there a little bit on some days, you know, some days it does crop up, but it's not like it used to be. And I've got here because of homeopathy. Honestly, it's literally saved our family. I cannot tell you. And you know, it's helped my daughter as well. My daughter was having really bad anxiety and panic attacks daily, and it was horrendous. And I know that she's very phosphorus. She's such a little phosphorus, and that basically means is she will just let everything that's going on around her affect her hugely. She'll take it all on. So she, that's her constitutional remedy, phosphorus, and she had carcinosin as well. And she's been absolutely fine since two remedies. Since two remedies.
I love it. Do you know?
I know.
And yet, you know, it's so hard, isn't it? Because, I mean, in the early days, I wanted to just shout from the rooftops, you know, how are you going to help? Like, and people actually can get quite angry with you, like, go away with your quackery. And I find it really hard, you know, I still go on some forums, you know, some local mums groups, and people are saying, oh, you know, my kid's got anxiety or this or that. I have to sort of rein in. I'm like, you could try homeopathy, because people can still sometimes get, I don't know, triggered by you suggesting that this could help. But like, just listening to that example there of your daughter, you know, how amazing. Yeah. And God, doesn't society right now need help with anxiety and mental health issues more than ever?
Oh my goodness. Absolutely. It's, you know, yeah, I can't even, we'd never thought we would be in this place, did we, in the where we are now and what's happening around us and in the world. But one thing that I don't know if you're seeing this in your practice, Lisa, but what I'm seeing in mine is just an explosion of children having anxiety, so much anxiety. I've got one coming in this morning who can't sleep, doesn't want to go to school. It's just awful. It's really sad. That's what it is. It's just really, really sad.
I know, and it was bad before, you know, now yeah. It's now we've got a mental health pandemic coming our way, already here. Hopefully more people will realize that there is, you know, help out there, and stuff that they can do, you know, and lots of things, you know, as little things as well, you know, like you say, meditation, or I find listening to music, you know, and we say sort of energy, but music, you know, can make your literally your hair stand on end when you get a good song that resonates. So
that's,
you know,
right. I know. Just Lisa, you should see me after I've dropped the kids off.
What do you
my
do?
Car turns into a little, my car's a little disco.
I love it
honestly, because it does, it raises your vibration and that's it, you're set for the day. And
I don't think we use music enough, like, you know, sometimes when the kids started going back to school after lockdown, it was all a bit like back to that whole morning chaos, you know, everyone rushing around trying to get out of the house. I put on like the 528 hertz music on Spotify in the background, and the whole house just like calmed down instantly, and no one even realized it was, you know, because it's so low level, just lovely background music. So that,
do you know, I've never tried that. I have to try that.
Do it in the mornings now, if everyone's getting, the tension's rising, you know, and no one's getting their shoes and socks on and all of that kind of crap, just put the music on calmly.
Okay.
And it just there's different vibrations, so I think 528 hertz is like the most well-known one, but there are different vibrations for what it's meant to do. So there you go, there's some, maybe I need to get someone on a future episode to talk us through sound therapy.
That would be amazing. I'd be so interested in that.
Okay, if there's anyone listening that does sound therapy, any volunteers? What do you have any advice, you know, for parents, say, that have gone through or going through what you went through and are at the start of the journey, when maybe their child's just been diagnosed with autism and, you know, they're worrying about the future, where would you recommend that they start? Because I think one thing I hear time and time again, how overwhelming it is, like, where do you even begin?
Gosh, that's a huge question. Do you know, it's a real difficult one. I would say that, I would say to anybody listening is that you've got to remember that it's a marathon. The whole journey is a marathon. It's not a sprint, because at the beginning, everything can feel so overwhelming, so scary, so stressful. So sad, lots of huge emotions mixed in at the beginning. And I think, I remember myself, I went into crazy mum mode researching everything, and I was so disconnected. I was actually really disconnected for, I would say, about at least 2-3 years, actually, at the beginning, because all I could think about was, I need to learn this. I need to research this. Why has that happened? Looking back at his health history. And I just wasn't there for them. And it's a bit paradoxical, because actually what he needed was for me to be present with him. And I wasn't. I really wasn't. So I would say to families is just take your time. Take your time, and which might feel hard, but really listen to your gut instinct as well at the beginning. Listen to what you feels right. Of course, do your own research, gather the knowledge, but there's no rush. You know, these children will get there in their own time, and you will find the therapies and the help that you know sits right with you and resonates with you, and just go with that. And also just to remember to look after, you know, yourselves. And that is, I would say, number one, look after yourselves, because I got myself in such a bad state about three months after Arjun was diagnosed. And, you know, that was another thing that happened to me. But I suffer from cold sores when I get stressed. And I'll never forget, I had breakout of cold sores all over my body, everywhere. It was disgusting.
And unfortunately,
it was the stress. Of course it was. Yeah. My body had just gone into shutdown. It was like, and I remember going to see my GP at the time, and I walked into the room. Well, I went into hiding for about 2 weeks, so I didn't want anyone to see me. And then I went to see my GP eventually, and she just dropped her pen and she looked at me and she went, oh, she goes, what have you been doing? That was her words.
God.
Yeah, I looked horrendous, Lisa, honestly. And yeah, I wish I could have had, you know, a bit of Rustox and Hepasulf by then. Damn it. But hey ho.
Oh, do you know what? I just wish, wouldn't it be amazing if GPs did homeopathy as well? You know, I know they do more in France, but I just think how.
I know.
To be fully integrated. You know, there's a place for everything, but to just be able to go, oh, do you know what? This lady right now could do with Rustox. There we go. Sorted. Rather than let's suppress it all back in with antivirals or anti God knows
what. That's what I had. Yeah, what I had. Loads of antivirals. Yes.
Yeah,
but anyway,
do you have any books or forums or websites that people you know should particularly good when starting out? Because there are like so many.
Oh gosh, there's so many. My shelf is probably matching every single book you've got, Liz. But I remember us talking about Kenneth Bock's book. Do you remember at college?
Yeah.
We were like, whoa, because, you know, he covers the whole four, is it the four things, isn't he? He talks about ADHD, allergies, autism and
asthma.
That's it. And amazing book. I remember I would highly recommend that one. It's a really good place to start. And also Impossible Cure by Amy Lansky. Oh, it's just mind blowing. I love that book. That was one of my first homeopathy books.
It is amazing. I remember reading that, and that was my like life will never be the same again moment, just thinking I have to learn this because it's amazing.
Exactly. That's how I felt too. That book gave me so much hope. It really did. So that was brilliant, brilliant book. And there's another book I quite like actually by Tammy Duncan, Vibrational Healing for Autism, but that's, you know, might come a bit later on someone else's.
I haven't heard of that one. I'll have to have I've got like my pile of books to read. I'm such a bookworm. I've just got books everywhere, and I just need more time to be able to read.
I know. I'm the same.
I'd like them to be sort of implanted. No, actually, I wouldn't like that. But you know, a bit too AI. But you know, I would like to just absorb this knowledge more quickly.
Yes, I know. I know what you mean. I'm always ordering books, and when I get them, and I'm like, oh my God, it's come. I'm so excited. I'll read it within 2 days. I don't stop until I've finished it. I'm like, oh my God.
Yeah.
I just want to pile it all in.
Yeah. And I love proper books. I mean, I have got a Kindle and I tend to leave that for, you know, fiction, my Kindle, but I really regret that I bought The Impossible Cure on my Kindle. And I think I'm just going to have to buy a copy of the actual book one day, because it's not it's not the same, is it? It's like you can't refer to it. And I think I've got my favourite ever book and I don't own a copy, you know, on paper. So, yeah, I might.
Yeah, you've got to.
After this, go and buy it. Excellent. OK, well, Chan, I'm conscious of time. Just a couple of other questions that I wanted to ask. Bit of a big one with lots going on right now, but you know, if you could change anything, or if you could have a wish for humanity right now, what would you wish for?
Oh, that is a big question, Lisa. I would wish for everyone to just do you mean right now or just in general?
Whatever you want, however you interpret it.
I feel that everyone needs so much love right now. So much love. And, you know, people need to feel loved, and they need that physical connection. We need to see each other. We need to hug each other. We need to just feel love. Honestly, it's so needed right now. And, you know, I guess the obvious one is I would just love everyone to be happy and have good health and to have balance across the world. You know, yeah. We look at obviously our lives here and poverty and in the poorer countries, and we don't need that. That's not needed, and it can be fixed. You know, that for me, that would be amazing.
That's lovely, Charm. And so my last question, which is what are you doing now with your homeopathy? Are you practicing at the moment, and are you specializing, or are you seeing all sorts of patients? Can you just tell us a bit more?
Yeah, of course. So I've been building my practice since I graduated, prior to that, I should say. And I've got some exciting stuff going on, actually. So I decided to I kind of knew I wanted to specialise in children's health quite early on. You know, there's so children, they need that support now more than ever. So, yeah, this is totally my thing. And then I recently got asked to join Sally Lloyd's team for International Homeopaths for Autism, so even specializing on working with children who are on the spectrum. So yes, we are working behind the scenes to get that launched quite soon. So specializing with children who need help on lots of things, really. So yeah, it's very exciting.
You can be amazing at that, Charm. And yeah, I'll put a link to on the end of this podcast. I'll put a link underneath so people can see your website. So has Sally Lloyd's International Group launched yet? Are you doing a separate website for it?
Website is coming. Instagram page is coming. We're nearly at the point of launching. So I would say, where are we? I would say by beginning of June, it will all be there, but we're working already and seeing patients, or we've been working, you know, already and seeing patients for the last few months, so we will be visible soon. Really enjoying it.
That's so exciting. And yeah, how well placed are you to help parents with and children with these issues, and you know, especially so.
I don't know. I hope so, Lisa. That's all I want to do. I want to just give back everything that I know, because if I can help one family, you know, for me, that is so special, because I know what it's like. So
That's lovely. Well, Charm, we'll be seeing lots more of you, I'm sure. And the world needs homeopaths that can help, especially in these issues. So, yeah, thank you so much. And thank you.
You're welcome.
It's been really lovely to chat.
Thank you for having me.